Today on Real Radio.
Because if one person tonight is in the hearing of this message and you're either contemplating adultery or you're in the midst of adultery right now, if this message saves your life and you turn around and you come out, then it may even save your eternal life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his topical series on the Ten Commandments. We're having a look at Exodus chapter 20 today, verse 14, as well as some other passages along the way. We're having a look at the type of sin that seems to be on the increase today in Western society and throughout the world, for that matter, that sin being adultery. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in his mini-series on commandment number 7.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth." Genesis 2, 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being or a living soul." Verse 8, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." Verse 21, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man, and Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.'" Verse 24, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." That is the institution of marriage right there, church. The very first thing that God did in the meeting of Adam and Eve is that he welded them in what is known as the marriage institution. This is the great thing about marriage. But believe me, you cannot discuss adultery without talking about marriage, because adultery is committed inside or against the institution of marriage. So this foundation is extremely important. Out of all the institutions that God has established, marriage came out of Eden. It's the only one. When you melt everything down, there are three basic institutions that God has made. Number one, marriage in the garden. It abides today. It was back then. Then after the fall, two things came in to being as an institution that God said, this is what he has created. One, or the second one I should say, is government. God gave government through Moses to the nation of Israel, his people. Government. It's hard for us to believe the way that our governments are run in the world today, but these are man-made invasions against the institution of God's government. And then the other one is the church, the institution of the church itself. Three main institutions. The only one that was around from the beginning is marriage, from the start. So tonight you might say, well, how important is marriage? Well, it's very important to God. It may not be to Hollywood, it may not be to many people, but it is to God. America today is a post-Christian nation, no matter how you slice it. And because that's true, I believe the blame lies at the feet of really good people who did nothing to stand up for the next generation and to hand them the moral convictions and the biblical mandate to follow the Lord. You and I have a culture right now where our young people, those are 18 to 30 years of age, they're giving up on marriage, they're giving up on God. And I think it's not their fault. I think that the generation that has brought them into the world has failed to pass down to them a strong moral rudder and a personal relationship in Jesus Christ. Now, hear me out. Don't misquote me. I said both those things together. Morality is a good thing. Morality cannot get you to heaven. Understand that. All of us are being blessed by a moral friendship or a moral society if we live in one. That's a good thing, but it cannot save you. Tonight, no matter how moral you are, no matter how stellar your ethics might be, you're not going to heaven without being born again, Jesus said. John chapter 3, he says you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. But listen, let me say this. I am grateful for your strong ethical moral position. What you need, though, is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We told the younger generation, don't do this. Make sure you do that, but don't do this. And we failed to hand down to them the greater thing. And that greater thing was to know the Lord Jesus personally. And the root source and spread and acceptance of adultery today in our culture has swept our culture away with an unashamed decadence, the way I put it. As a culture, we've lost the ability to be embarrassed anymore, to blush anymore. When's the last time you were actually red-faced over something that embarrassed you, or that you saw our culture be embarrassed about some gross conduct? It doesn't happen anymore. And that's a sad thing. Why? You want to stop tonight and ask the question, why is that happening? I think because even in our Christian homes, perhaps, there's the bombardment of media and music that attacks marriage. It exalts extramarital sex. It's bringing to surface all kinds of lewd conversations and the images on television or whatever it might be that mocks God's institution and begins to whittle down the defense mechanisms of a moral society. We're suffering this right now. You just wear them down. Listen, Satan knows that if he can expose a child to nasty stuff early on, he's got that person messed up to some degree. We are to protect the innocence of our children. Look, I personally believe that I'm called by God to protect the innocence of my child to death, if that's what it calls me to do. If somebody comes to try to perpetrate evil against my children or now my granddaughter, boy, I've got to tell you, you want to get pumped up again? You think you raise up your kids and then you send them out and you go, okay, I'm done. And then one of them has a grandkid. And I got to tell you, as an older person now and as a grandpa, it's like, you know what? That's it. And I'm more excited about issues than ever before. I believe Jesus will come back tonight, but what if he doesn't? I don't want my granddaughter or your grandkids or your children to grow up having some godless system shoving down their face their agenda. And listen, we live in a very immoral age. And somebody will say to me, well, Pastor, you know, just turn the other cheek. Listen, read your Bible. That's not what it says. That's not what it's about. We are to stand as salt and light in the world around us today. We are to be unwavering regarding righteousness. I challenge not only this church, but this culture of ours. When Christians stand for righteousness, if we would just stand, there would be such a presence of witness, I think the lost world would say, my goodness, what is it that they're so excited about? Maybe I ought to tune in and listen to what's going on. But no one's going to be influenced by a culture or by an age where the church looks just like the world. It's not going to happen. The seventh commandment is a very, very direct commandment. You shall not commit adultery. Without apology, without excuse, God gives it to us, right? Just like a fastball right down the center. This is the way that it is. God says, you shall not do this. And maybe you're here tonight and you say, well, man, God just doesn't want me to have a good time. You think that's a good time? You really do? 15 minutes of glory and a lifetime of suffering and pain? You say, what are you talking about? Listen, a lot of young people today, that's part of the lie. They think it's all fun, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Who's going to know? It's going to be fantastic. And little do you know that at some point in time, you'll be in my office or someone's office in the future having a broken heart because you can't keep a relationship together and you don't know why. We're going to talk about these very, very direct things over the course of the next couple of weeks as we look at the seventh commandment. I want you to look at these right now or just think about them if you would. Tell me or think about it in your mind regarding adultery, what it does. Think of adultery as the Bible references it, physical adultery. The Bible speaks about spiritual adultery. We're going to see in the life of a Christian that when a Christian, or when a person for that matter, commits adultery, it affects their spirit, the inside of them. Listen to this. I'm going to argue right now that the first commandment, Exodus 20, verse 3, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. I'm going to argue tonight that adultery breaks the first commandment. That person that you've committed adultery with or currently committing adultery with, hey, listen, if you're committing adultery tonight, nobody told me you're going to be here. I didn't know. God allowed you to be here. You need to come through the next few weeks. There's great hope for you, but I got to tell you, listen, this is a big deal. I believe that it's number one, it's breaking the first commandment. You shall have no other God before me. And that person that you're committing adultery with, you worship them. That's how you got there in the first place. Somehow you were convinced you couldn't live without him. He's better than your husband. She's better than your wife. And you crossed that line and committed adultery, and you're in it now. I believe adultery breaks the second commandment. The Bible tells us in Exodus 20, verses 4 and 6, you shall not make yourself any graven image in the likeness of anything that is in heaven above and on earth beneath. In your mind, spiritually, that person's body, actions played out in your head like a kaleidoscope presentation. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, I believe adultery breaks this commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, because you're living a life. Maybe tonight you're saying you're a Christian, but you're living in an adulterous relationship. You are taking the name of the Lord in vain. I think it breaks this next commandment. Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How can you, who, as you live in sin, would keep any day holy when every day that you live is tainted by your sin because it's not repented of? You might be here tonight and you're saying, well, Pastor, I fell in adultery once or before or whatever, and I repented and I got out of it. Listen, everything changes if a person has truly, sincerely repented. But tonight it is necessary that this message be delivered to the person, because if one person tonight is in the hearing of this message and you're either contemplating adultery or you're in the midst of adultery right now, if this message saves your life and you turn around and you come out, then it may even save your eternal life. I believe that strongly. Exodus 20, verse 12. What about this commandment? Honor your father and mother, that the days of your life may be long upon the land in which the Lord your God has given you. How in the world is you thinking that you are privately, secretly, quietly committing adultery with someone and you're not honoring what your parents brought you up to revere and to know? You see, my parents didn't bring me up to do anything like that. Well, listen, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change the word of God. Living in adultery shames the rest of your family, friends, and everybody else. How about this one? You shall not murder. You say, there's no way that adultery could be connected to murder. You know what? Maybe it's spiritual murder. Maybe you're killing yourself. Maybe you're killing that person you're sleeping with. Maybe you're killing that person's family. Have you thought about their kids? Have you thought about their sister or their brothers or their moms or their dads or whatever? You're killing them. You're murdering them. You're murdering yourself. What about this next commandment? You shall not steal. You cannot commit adultery without stealing. Adultery, by definition, is either two of the offending parties being married to other people, or one of them is married. For two people to come together in sexual activity that are not married, that's fornication. And the Bible tells us in Galatians and in Corinthians that no fornicator will enter the kingdom of heaven. You may say you're a Christian. You can talk about it all you want. You can say, well, we love one another, and it's okay. It's what God wants. No, it's not what God wants. And the Bible says you're not going to heaven. If one of the people in the factor, if one person is married or both of them are married to other people, so you could be a single person having an affair with a married person, and both are guilty of adultery. And the Bible says regarding adultery also that you will not see the kingdom of heaven. As you continue in that, and you know you're in the thick of it, when you're thinking about it, you're doing it, and you're doing everything you can to cover it up, and you know that God said, don't do it. There may be some in here tonight that woke up to the realization, I didn't know God said I shouldn't do that. Great, then run from it. Run. There's forgiveness, there's mercy, but you've got to hate it and you've got to run. Sadly, tonight in a message like this, it happens every time whenever this topic comes up, is someone will be listening in right now or watching or in the sanctuary right now, and they will decide, no, I'm gonna go for her or I'm gonna go for him, and you will choose the path that you're gonna take. Exodus 20, verse 16 says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Imagine you're having sex with your neighbor's wife or husband, and you're saying, hey, how's it going? Hey, wanna go to the game next week? Or whatever it is, imagine. Happens every day in the world, too often in the church, among those who claim and say that they're Christians. Exodus 20, verse 17 says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant or his female servants, his ox or his donkey, nor anything that your neighbor has. The breaking of that commandment. I want to give you some data tonight. It's some percentages that is most recent. 57% of men claim to have committed adultery. 57% of men claim to have committed adultery. And this is normal. 54% of women claim to have committed adultery. Why the discrepancy? They'll say that men make numbers up, bigger number, or it could be that the women are shamed and not all of them reported. But 57% of men claim to have committed adultery. 54% of women claim that they've committed adultery. 53% of those filing for divorce give adultery as the reason. 31% of marriages survive adultery. Just 31%. 90% of Americans admit that adultery is morally wrong. That's pretty amazing, by the way. That's the highest in the world. 90% of Americans say adultery's wrong. It's morally wrong. And yet America is one of the highest of those who commit adultery. Personally, I believe it is a direct testimony of the influence of our media, of our movies, pornography. We are the pornographic capital of the world. Northridge, remember the big earthquake was up there? Northridge, geographically, is the number one single point on earth that produces more pornography than any other spot. Another great claim to California. Some years ago, it's an old cover, Time Magazine, regarding the Promise Keepers. Remember them? The Promise Keepers? In that article, on the front it says, regarding the Promise Keepers, a new movement is filling stadiums with men asserting their manhood. This week, the rally in Washington, should they be cheered or feared? Do you know what they wound up doing? That Time Magazine article wound up announcing in the article that it may not be good for men to be monogamous. It may not be good for them to take this radical approach to faithfulness to their wives and to their families. Remarkable. Should they be cheered or feared? And think about our culture today. If a man or a woman, a young person, doesn't matter. I remember A.C. Green 100 years ago. Remember the Laker, A.C. Green? He said he was a virgin and he was almost crucified for that. Today, if you say, hey, you know, I'm a virgin, you are mocked, ridiculed, and no longer considered serious as a human being. You're insane. Why? Because our culture and their pulpit has ruled the day. And what's the fruit of it? Increased divorce rates, broken homes, broken relationships, an absolute messed up world in which you and I live in. Listen, somebody might say, nobody tells me what to do. I'm free to do whatever I want. You're not free. You are in gross bondage. You are absolutely being vandalized and victimized by your unbridled passions, and you think you're free? You're nothing more than an animal. The Bible is the book that introduces humanity to the institution of marriage, and adultery breaks it. It's invented by God. It's defended by God. And marriage is God's model. If you like it or not, it's God's model, type, symbol of a living experience that speaks to our relationship with God. Marriage is the picture. We say, oh, that's true. Then who wants a relationship with God? Because marriages stink. Marriages stink because we make them stink. Marriages stink because we allow them to stink. And tonight, somebody might be saying, well, you know what? I don't need to listen to this. I'm from Berkeley. Oh, listen. You can spin that stuff all you want. Down deep inside, you know that God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. You know it. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to you tonight that you've sinned against God and you've sinned against a righteous and holy creator of the universe. And he says, you're not to do this. And we don't like to hear it. And God says, be not deceived, I am not mocked, God says. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. We're not going to get away with this. God judges. And he's strong at it. This whole thing that's invading our culture, I like to call it, I think it's accurate in calling it the spirit of Antichrist, anti-Jesus, anti-God, anti-word. And we need to be careful about that. It has completely permeated our system, that Antichrist attitude, and let's get God away from things. Let's get God out of things. We don't want, you can't bring up God. I was embarrassed. What was it, a couple weeks ago when the governor of Texas had a prayer rally and everybody got in line to sue him? Did you watch that? People got in line to file lawsuits. ACLU, Barry Lynn and his whatever they belong to, stop this, stop that, and can't do that. He's paid by the state of Texas. He can't pray. He belongs to the state. He can't pray. All this kind of stuff. You know what's very sad about that? Is that it got as the opposition got as far as it did. A lot of people began to doubt, gosh, you know, should he pray? Should they even hold the event? I honestly don't understand how people can think that way. When evil shakes the cage and says, hey, and all of the people who love God and know God's word just shudder in fear and just roll up their convictions and sit real still like a mouse, a little church mouse. And somebody walks by and says, what's wrong with you? Oh, the unbelievers are yelling at us. And I pray at times like that, God, send us a Joshua. Send us a Gideon. Send us a Deborah. You know? So, Pastor, you're really on it tonight, aren't you? Yeah, I am, because I see the damage of what this does to families. I see the little kids who are vomiting, throwing up. Kids get diarrhea. You know that? Kids are getting diarrhea and throwing up because they find out that their dad's sleeping with somebody else. And let me tell you something. When a little kid knows when something's wrong with mom and dad. You might think you're hiding it from your kids. They know. I don't know how they know, but they know. And kids get all sick.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a lesson that takes a look at the seventh of the Ten Commandments, you shall not commit adultery. It's a timely message for us today, especially since marriage, of course ordained by God, is under attack in so many different forms. This series within a series is part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies on the Ten Commandments. So be sure to join us again as we continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now remember, you can always go online to realradioactive.org and listen to today's edition of Real Radio as many times as you'd like. Sometimes the second or third time through really makes a difference. You can also hear past programs. You can even subscribe to our podcasts of Real Radio if you'd like. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And you'll know right where to point and click. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.